I want to welcome you all to today's Crop Report conference call. I'm Nancy Krull, and I'll moderate today's call. Providing today's commentary is Mike Krueger. Mike is the founder and president of The Money Farm, a grain marketing advisory service located near Fargo, North Dakota. He works with individual farmers, country elevators, and others in agriculture. He also hosts a daily syndicated radio and television program called The Money Farm. It's carried on 35 radio stations across the upper Midwest and 6 television stations across North Dakota. He's a licensed commodity broker and will be giving us our commentary today. After the commentary is complete, I will ask for questions from members of the media. We'll give you a chance to do a question and a follow-up. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Mike.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to start talking about wheat first since this is a Minneapolis Grain Exchange sponsored conference call. And secondly, because the wheat numbers are probably the easiest and the briefest to talk about. They did not make any changes in any of the wheat production estimates. We don't get updated hard red spring wheat or durum wheat or soft white or any of those other classes of wheat production numbers until they release what they call their final small grains report, which is the end of this month on September 30th. So if anyone was looking for changes in the spring wheat production number, we saw none of that today. That was all left exactly unchanged. The only change they made in the U.S. wheat outlook was they did reduce ending stocks by 5 million bushels, which is very minor, and they did that by increasing the food use, which in essence is consumption and milling. So they took U.S. wheat ending supplies from 434 million bushels in August down to 429 million bushels today. They will give us updated production estimates. In fact, their final production estimates will come the end of the month, as I said, and then whatever changes they make in those production numbers will be reflected in the October supply and demand numbers. That 429 million bushels is tight, continues to tighten gradually each month. The wheat by class numbers, they just made very slight adjustments to account for that 5 million bushel difference. I think in terms of world numbers, the two things that people were looking at most closely was the biggest one is what they would do with Australia's crop production estimate. It's been very dry in Australia for a year now. Their crop is weather-wise or calendar-wise is kind of the equivalent of mid-April for our winter wheat. The bulk of their crop over there is winter wheat, and they are just coming into spring. USDA had started carrying their crop a few months ago as high as 23 million tons. Last month, they were at 21.5 million tons. Today, they dropped that production number down to 19.5 million tons. Most private analysts that we talk to have been using numbers in that 16 to 18 million ton range. So the USDA, I think looking at their numbers, probably a little bit conservative at leaving it at 19.5. Second number that people were looking at was Argentina has had similar problems with drought. And obviously Argentina and Australia are two of the key world wheat exporters that harvest their crops in November, December and come online kind of our midwinter. Australia's crop production estimate, the USDA dropped just 250,000 tons from 13.5 million tons last month down to 13.25 million tons this month. And again, I think they're a little bit conservative there. I think most private people are in that neighborhood of 12.5 to 13 million tons. They also did increase the Canadian wheat production estimate today by 500,000 tons. That wasn't a surprise. The sum total of all of this is that they reduced world wheat production a total of 2 million tons, and they also reduced the wheat ending supplies in the world by a corresponding amount of 2 million tons, which puts those at the smallest they've been in 25 or over 25 years. And some people suggest that world wheat ending supplies on a stocks-to-use ratio are now probably the smallest that they've been since the USDA started their database extensively back in 1960. The only other notable change they made in the world numbers was that they did take India's import estimate from 4.5 million tons up to 6 million tons. And again, we've been talking about India, as you know, in the press for weeks over their latest tenders and the fact that they're simply going to import more wheat than they have in a long time. So in a nutshell, that's the wheat report. No big changes in the U.S. at all. They did reduce the world crop 2 million tons. The two big numbers that the market has been waiting and watching for, and we've seen all kinds of private production estimates and ideas on what they might do with corn and Soybean yields and production and ending supplies also were released this morning. And we'll start with corn. They put the crop at 11.114 billion bushels, a yield of 154.7 bushels per acre. Both those numbers are larger than what I think the market was looking for. That is, the production number is up 138 million bushels from the August report. The yield estimate is up 2.5 bushels per acre from the August report. And the only other change they made, which was a slight change, was they did reduce harvested acres by 300,000. So they increased the abandonment by 300,000 acres. And that may be a number to kind of look for in the next several reports on corn. Is there are still some people out there who think that they have not reduced the harvested acreage number enough. They're looking at drought problems in parts of both Dakotas, western Nebraska, and some of Kansas, and saying eventually they'll have to trim those harvested acres. And they did just slightly today. They did, in spite of the 138 million bushel increase in this year's anticipated crop production, they cut ending stocks for the end of the 2006-2007 crop marketing year by 12 million bushels. So, in essence, it was a wash in terms of increased production and what they did with ending stocks. And they did that by increasing their export estimate on corn by 150 million bushels. They also left their ethanol consumption for corn exactly unchanged. And the other big player that's important to kind of keep an eye on world corn markets is China. I think there were some people out there who thought they might reduce China's crop because of late season drought. They left that exactly unchanged, and they left China's corn export forecast unchanged from what they did last month. I would guess that the market will view the corn report a little bit negative because it's a little bit bigger production number than they thought. Although I believe that the demand for corn, and when people look at ending stocks actually declining some, that will cushion the impact of a bigger crop. Over in soybeans, I think the market got exactly what it was expecting to get in terms of this morning's production estimate. They raised the soybean crop 165 million bushels from last month. They raised the soybean yield 2.2 bushels an acre from last month. In fact, the actual production estimate of 3.093 billion bushels was dead on the average range of the pre-report estimate. So no surprise there. People have been talking about a bigger soybean crop since the weather started to get much better in mid to late July, more mild temperatures and a lot better rain, especially across the western Corn Belt. They increased ending supplies for the end of this current marketing year by 80 million bushels, up to 530 million compared to 450 in their August estimate. They did cushion the impact of the larger crop by increasing the export estimate by 80 million bushels, and they also increased the crushing estimate, how many beans will process in this country, slightly as well. They didn't make any changes in the other world soybean numbers, except a slight adjustment upwards in the amount of soybeans that they believe China will crush. So to a lesser extent, the soybean story is sort of like corn in that world consumption continues to go higher, led by China and Asia, and those numbers are kind of cushioning the impact of a bigger crop in this country. Early calls are kind of all over the map this morning. Generally, they're talking down 2 to 3 on corn and beans and steady on wheat. I would expect that the opening range may be a little bit lower than that in corn, probably a little bit lower than that in wheat, but then I would expect that as the day goes on, the market might actually not show as many losses. I mean, mainly I say that because the market's been anticipating the big bean crop for a long time, and the demand for corn just continues to expand and chew up whatever excess production we seem to come up with. So with that, Nancy, we can take questions unless you want me to get into more detail about some issues.
Okay, well, let's see what people have for questions that may lead you into some of those details. So, Al, why don't we go ahead and start with you and see if you have any questions.
Yes, Nancy, this is Al Gustin in Bismarck. Good morning again, Mike.
Hi, Al.
Since we're both from North Dakota, even though this report didn't talk about spring wheat, I guess my listeners are interested in that, the spring wheat Durham situation. Anything out there you think that's going to lend any support to those markets here as we move into the fall and the winter months?
Well, I think in terms of, let's talk about Durham first. I mean, we've got a Durham crop in North Dakota, which is 80 or 85% of the U.S. durum crop. It's down 35 to 40% from a year ago. We've got a similar situation in Canada. Canadian durum production down also in that 35 to 40% range. So the durum market could get more interesting as the season goes on. Exports are anticipated to be a little bit better than last year. I think the only thing that is that at least initially will prevent durum prices from escalating very much is that the Canadians have a fairly sizable carry-in supply of durum from a year ago. But in general, the durum crop in North America was extremely small, and we're seeing some evidence of increased demand around the world for durum as well. And we anticipate that acres that get planted to desert durum this winter down in California and Arizona will be down as well from this year unless we see a real price spike. So I think the durum situation, at least from a number standpoint, the numbers are much smaller than we've seen in a long time. The case of spring wheat, there's all kinds of differences of opinion on what will happen to the final yield estimate that comes out at the end of this month. There's no question that we saw better yields in parts of North Dakota and some areas of western Minnesota than was expected 4 to 6 weeks ago. For example, up in that north central part of the state that really was suffering from dry conditions all summer long, they had very good yields, much better than anticipated, some 50 to 60 bushel wheat up there. And on the same hand, in the central, south central part of North Dakota and the far northwest, we've seen yields as small as 5 to 10 bushels an acre. I think that they will reflect a higher spring wheat yield. I think that will be offset in part by the fact that more acres were not harvested, particularly in central and western South Dakota and south central and parts of western North Dakota. Wheat overall, I think the world wheat numbers still indicate that at some point in time this market will give us higher prices. We've had smaller crops in all of the major wheat exporting countries with the exception of Canada. And I really still think the critical issue will be whether the Australian crop turns out to be 16 million tons or the 19 million tons that the USDA gave us today, and what goes on in Argentina as well. So I look for the wheat market eventually to give us another move back to the old highs just based on the extreme tightness in world supplies.
Mike, thank you very much.
Thanks, Al.
Bob Hawk.
Yeah, I'm out in the Pacific Northwest. I was wondering of that 6 million tons USDA projects for India, how much of that have they already purchased? Do we know?
In total, I think they've purchased at least 3 million tons. They have a tender that's been working for several weeks now for about 1.7 million tons. So it would take them in the neighborhood of 5 million tons, probably. That has either been purchased or they are directly involved in negotiations to purchase now. There are also some out there who believe that before India is done, that number will probably be 8 million tons, not 6 million tons.
Does the U.S. have any chance of getting any of that business? Are the specs restrictive? Or?
Yeah, the problem that we've had with India forever seems to be phytosanitary issues. India has very specific problems with portions of our crop. I can't really say for sure, but it has to do with politics and all kinds of things. I know that the Indian government has had people in Washington off and on for the last couple of months working to try to resolve those issues. I don't believe that they've been resolved. I certainly would think that we would be a source of last resort for India for more reasons than phytosanitary. I mean, we've got Australia that's sitting awfully close to them, so they have a huge shipping advantage over us. And the other thing I believe that advantage that some of those other countries have is India is really not looking for what we would consider good quality milling wheat. They're going to buy cheapest wheat they can, which implies that some of it may be even feed quality wheat out of the Black Sea region.
Don Wick, are you still with us?
Yes.
Do you have a question for Mike?
Yeah, Mike, good morning to you.
Hi, Don.
Say, I'm just curious, what kind of legs did you see this report having, and how soon will we turn to weather and the corn-soybean harvest?
I think that this report won't really have very much in terms of legs at all, Don. I think that also weather probably won't be an issue except for the southern hemisphere and some of those wheat areas we talked about. I think the market's going to quickly turn, first of all, to the fact that no matter what the numbers are and what the ending stocks numbers are for corn and beans eventually, that we are weeks away. In fact, I've already started in some areas harvesting an 11-plus billion corn crop and a 3-plus billion soybean crop. So in the next 30 to 60 days, it's going to be difficult, I think, for this market to overcome, just the simple fact that we're going to harvest big crops. Beyond that, then I think demand takes over, and it takes over pretty quickly, and particularly in corn. You know, we've talked about the ethanol thing for a year, year and a half. I still think that in general, particularly world markets have yet to grasp the impact of what's going on in this country in terms of corn consumption via ethanol. And secondly, it just seems to me with some smaller crops, other areas, or particularly corn in Brazil, that this the corn export picture is going to be stronger than people thought, and the USDA reflected that by increasing their exports today. In the case of beans, even with the bigger U.S. crop, the world numbers are not going to expand much in this 2006-2007 marketing year. I mean, it seems that we've got a race going between increasing consumption in China and Asia and increasing production in North and South America. And I think the next factor, once we get through our harvest in the bean market, probably will be how many acres get planted down in Brazil. And a lot of people who watch that market pretty carefully are suggesting at least a 10% decrease in soybean plantings in Brazil, and maybe a little bit more just because their farm economy is so weak, and particularly the soybean side of their farm economy. So, you know, it's a long way around. I think the market's going to put this report on the shelf really quickly. The bean number was exactly where they thought. Corn number slightly bigger, but offset by stronger demand numbers.
Are there other media that have joined the call later that would like to ask a question? All right, well, then I think that kind of takes care of us for today. Mike, I want to thank you for your time and for giving us your commentary. We'll remind the folks that are still on our call that we do have the daily market commentary, both audio and text, on our website for your review. And our next conference call will be November 9th. We will have Country Hedging giving us their commentary. And again, thank you all for joining. And thanks, Mike, for your commentary.
Thanks,
have a great
Kathy.
Day.
Thanks.